in partnership with AndTheValleyShow.com. It's the Go Show, your original LSU podcast, coming through your Wednesday night, October 16th, 2012. Kerry Munch, your host, Patrick Morris, Punch Tula, joining me tonight.
Dandy.
How's it going, man?
I'm just fine.
I don't know if we should be hosting a podcast together, because we didn't last week, and we won.
We've also won previously in the many years that we won championships, too. So I don't believe in that malarkey.
Okay, good enough. This is the Go Show, your original LSU podcast. As I stated, ways to get in touch with the show, as always, visit the site, www.andthevalleyshook.com, to periodically check, see when we have released a show. You can like us on Facebook. You can download us and subscribe to us for free from iTunes. Just search the Go Show. GEAUXSHOW. I think it's pointless to even give out the email address, but I will anyway. GoShow@gmail.com. And most of the people that want to get in touch with us just usually write a post or message us on a Facebook page. That is the best way to get in touch with us, and the way you get the quickest response. Where to go from here? Never in my life, Patrick, have I been so happy to be wrong about something than I was last week. You're right about that. I am here to admit, completely wrong. I thought LSU would. I didn't think LSU would come out flat or anything like that. I didn't think they had enough firepower. Well, I thought the defense would keep us in the game and give us chances to win. I did not anticipate us dominating the line of scrimmage, rushing the football like we did. So, that being said, so happy to be wrong. LSU 23-21. South Carolina on Saturday night. Big, big win for LSU. We will dive into that in great detail in a little bit. News and notes before we get started. Apparently, Alex Hurst is now not on the team anymore. He left Baton Rouge, just from what I hear. I don't know what the whole story is, Patrick, but anytime
it's always got to be related to a woman some kind of way.
That being said, I don't anticipate Alex Hurst being back on his football team the rest of the season. No other real injuries to really talk about, I don't think. Eric Reed kind of had a bruised sternum off that interception, but I think he's good to go. He's a gamer. He's not going to miss any time. And the guys that have been hurt the season, nothing's changed with that. So unless I'm missing something, podcast, who I forgot to introduce, the Cajun Billy D. Williams, man pushing a button behind the scenes. Not listening, apparently.
No, he's just typing to us saying Williford's still out this week.
Ah, that's right. Josh Williford is still out. So, Bucket is a wealth of knowledge. Managing editor of AndTheValleyShow.com and founder of this famous podcast that you're listening to today. We will be joined a little later in about 15, 20 minutes by Wes from GoodBowlHunting.com, an SB Nation blog site. He will be our Texas A&M guest this week. We will talk to him a little bit later about Mr. Johnny Football and the Texas A&M Aggies in the 11 a.m. matchup in College Station, Texas. So that being said, Patrick, your thoughts about the game?
Well, like I told you all the other day, I think I called a couple of things on Saturday, meaning the little Wildcat, even though it wasn't as successful as it probably should have been due to some mental mistakes, coming out with a different, mentality, you're playing at home. The emotion definitely got behind us. I mean, there's no doubt playing at home at night. And I don't care what anybody anywhere in the country says, playing at home in Tiger Stadium at night is a difference. It is more than a 3-point swing that most people get at home. It is more like a 7-point swing for us. So, but I thought it was one of the best games, just overall games. I went back, and I was watching the replay of the game. Objectively, if you're just a casual fan, don't even have affiliation to either team, it was a good game. It was a good game altogether.
Wonderful game.
They went back and forth. They had a little bit of everything. As some, there was some dull, very few dull moments because something was always on the line, no matter which play you were talking about. Whether it's our defense stepping up. We even said it. Leading into the deal, Connor Shaw is going to throw that big interception. Sure enough, he threw that big interception. That's really where the game basically got solidified in LSU's favor at that point. So,
Right. Very
impressed with the defense, the offensive line. I think we just need a little bit of stability there. If we stay with that same line, which I don't foresee him changing anything, and I haven't heard anything, You know, that's the key. They've had, what, five different starting offensive lines since the beginning of the season?
Yeah,
stability is what you need at offensive line.
5 and 7 games. 5 different starting offensive lines in 7 games this season. So, yeah, my hats off completely to the offensive line, Pat. Talking about two guys that have taken the bull by the horns here, Trey Turner and Vidal Alexander stepping up this season and playing. You know, this, I don't know what got behind them. I don't know if it was a motivational factor or maybe, you know, maybe it's a fact that, you know, okay, now they know this is what the offensive line is going to be. They were able to develop some sort of chemistry and communication out there, knowing that they're going to be the starters maybe from here on out. And that kind of helped them against, you know, no slouch of a defensive line there in South Carolina. You didn't hear Clowney's name too much. I mean, he made like, I think, 5 tackles. I think he had 1 tackle for a loss, and he batted the ball down at the line of scrimmage once.
That was the only thing, and I throw that more on the quarterback than the offensive line, was there's a lot of batted down passes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they are reading, and that just comes from two things. You know, they're definitely reading his eyes, you know, mm-hmm. So he's got to learn to look away, you know, that he's got to look off that pass. You know, when we had a deep safety, we had a deep route where he could have, that pass had a chance, but that safety was over there so quick because he knows where he's going with the ball. Look the other way first, draw that safety off another half second and go. You know, that's the kind of things. And supposedly we have a quarterback's coach. That's the things he needs to be teaching, the fine details of quarterbacking. That's the only thing. Not that Mettenberger, and everybody says, oh, Mettenberger didn't play great. I don't think he had a horrible game either. You know, I just think there's some fine-tuned touches that he won against the number three team in the country. He threw one bad pass, which they were reading that route to no end because we threw it one too many times instead of doing the up like we kept yelling for. You know, So I don't think he had a bad game.
No, he didn't. He didn't have a terrible. I mean, he had the one interception, but you know, we converted on third down when we needed to. He did make a couple of good passes on third downs too. You know, but the receivers played much better than what we've seen. I don't recall any drop passes.
The biggest thing was catch the ball first. It looks like, okay, I'm not worried about running after the catch. Let me catch it because you know what? Even if I catch it, I'm getting 4 or 5 yards. Big deal. Then we'll worry about running if the defender's not on us.
Mm-hmm. You know, and as long as teams continue to stack the box against us, those slants will be open. Just like you said, you don't want to throw that one too many times. You want to build off of that and do that little out and up little deal, little double move where you slant to the inside and you cut it back, you know, back to the outside, to the sideline. You know, a good route, crisp route run like that's going to be wide open, especially if you keep hitting that slant early in the game. You know, move on from that. Talk about, I mean, something that we saw early in the season against Idaho was the play of Jeremy Hill, and we hadn't heard too much of him since. Camp showed back up in a big way. Spencer Ware was running the ball effectively and had to go out with some stomach ailments, as they so eloquently put it. Jeremy Hill steps in and talk about taking a ball to horns, Patrick.
He had the craps is what he had.
That's what he had. I don't want to use the cliche taking a bull by the horns too many times because I don't want to turn this into a Ben Stiller movie, Dodgeball, or anything like that. You know, 17 carries, 124 yards, 2 touchdowns, and one touchdown that kind of solidified the victory that somebody who shall remain nameless called for in the stands. So, any idea who that was, Pat?
Some guy that kind of sits in the same seats that I sit in all the time, right around me. He just, you know, it was funny the way he said it. He said, you know what, Jeremy Hill's about to break one right about now. And, you know, it just so happened he did within the next 5 seconds.
Every once in a while I get a call right. Once every 5 years, I'll get a call right. And that toss lead is our new option to the short side of the field. Yeah, we run it too much, and yeah, people get aggravated when we run it. But you know what? Guess what? Except for the Florida game, it averages about 7 yards a carry. So keep running it, especially if it's getting executed, because we have a stable of running backs that can blow through a line. So
yeah, the only one I was disappointed at the actual running back position was Michael Ford. Now I liked him as a return man in this game. That was the one positive in our. If you want to hit a negative in this game, it was special teams. What the hell happened to Alemon and to the wing. I mean, come on.
Alomar didn't make three field goals, but he missed that chip shot late in the second quarter.
But he's missed 4 out of 13 this year. All of last year, he missed two. Not like he's missing 50-something yard. He's missing a 30-something yard.
He's missing easy field goals. He hasn't. And wing.
That's the killer. And then one time he booms it. You know, we can't contain him.
Right. Yeah.
Frustrating. And that part of the game has got to get better.
Yeah, you can't, especially when you're going on the road, especially facing the caliber of teams we're gonna continue to face from here on out. Nothing. Red zone efficiency better this game, but you want to see 6 points instead of three. Last year's team was getting 6 points in the red zone. We got to get 6 points, especially when we're going on the road, especially against A&M. So
what I don't understand is, it's like all of a sudden, okay, there's a game plan for the game, and then there's a game plan for inside the 15. What, I mean, can we not just run the same damn thing? I kept yelling it. I was, you know, of course I was yelling a bunch of other things too, but if we could throw a 5 yard out all the way down the field and they're guarding it close, why can't we throw a 5 yard out on the goal line? He's got the daggone arm, or why can't we throw that quick slant? You know, that's what we were, that was bread and butter for, that is Mettenberger's bread and butter passing right there. Yeah, if they're gonna cheat, he definitely can't throw a touch fade pass. That is a given. Cannot throw the touch fade.
That was about as ugly a fade pass as you want to throw right there. Of course, another thing, you want to throw that ball to the wide side of the field, not the near side of the field. You want to give the receiver as much room as possible. That was a bad, you know, bad choice of, you know, side of the field. I mean, I like the call. I don't like it on third down so much, but I'd rather see it on second down.
I mean, we can dissect the game all we want. I mean, there's a couple of plays. How does Connor Shaw roll out to the right, throw back across his body? We have a safety help there, and we knock our own player off. You know, things like that. But overall, we very, very good performance. Very much put ourselves
I went back and we're replaying the game. That way he just caught us in a mismatch. Right? He had Barrow covering a guy downfield, and he got beat. He got hooked up with a linebacker. Getting covered
and then
took a bad angle. They knocked the two players, knocked each other out, actually. So from the stands, it looks like we had a chance to pick the ball off, but when you're watching on TV, it's we wasn't really close. Was granted they knock each other out and the guy gets an extra 15 yards on it. All that being said, defense still played well. They give the garbage touchdown at the end, which I don't really want to call it a garbage touchdown because South Carolina still had a chance to get the ball back and get a goal in the game. So kind of chillaxed a little bit too much for my liking. Of course, they had that phantom 15-yard penalty on Craig Lawson. They're still trying to figure out.
Well, no, that was one I actually went look up because I didn't believe it either. But if you look at the way he led kind of with his head a little bit, it's an interpretation rule. It is. But if you show intent, whether it's out of bounds, inbounds, or whatever, that you're leading with your head, whether you miss or not, they can throw the flag. I went look it up, actually, because I didn't believe it.
So, but it's just embarrassing. You get a flag on something, you need at least make it count.
Yeah, at least hit him next time.
So, you know, I don't know. You know, all that being said, we can sing the LSU's praises all we want, but, you know, some of the same offensive issues, you know, still there. They're kind of not as bad now, but we're only as good as our last game, and we gotta go from here. And if we don't come out and play with the same kind of intensity and emotion that we did Saturday night, this weekend, this victory is all for naught. That's something we gotta keep in perspective. That's something we need to do. And that's my biggest concern going on the road here this week, especially with the early morning kickoff. I hate early morning kickoffs, whether they're in Tiger Stadium or away. I don't know. They just aggravate me, you know. But you know, you got to deal with it. I still don't know why ESPN doesn't pick us. We were the highest rated football game this weekend, by the way, us in South Carolina. So why not keep us in primetime, especially if LSU, A&M, you know, a game that hasn't been played, well, aside from the Cotton Bowl since 1995, which was a good rivalry from '85 to '95, and. You know, I'm just, but they got that, you know, that love for Alabama, that Alabama.
Well,
Tennessee,
yeah, two reasons.
Which is going to be a 40-point game, you know, so.
Yeah. But, well, Alabama's in the SEC offices right there. Plus, they haven't been getting a lot of TV time because of their competition that they've been playing. So they say, oh, this is the first, you know, notable name SEC team. Let's make sure we got them on prime time. And then, of course, you knew Florida South Carolina was a no brainer. That should have been a prime. That should be the game of the day.
Oh yeah, that's definitely a CBS game. There's no doubt about it. What I didn't know is, I guess once a year or a couple times a year, maybe podcast can help me out with this. Since when did ESPN start allowing 11 a.m. SEC games? I thought that was reserved for like the Big Ten. I thought it was just a JP game, but this is 11 a.m. ESPN. So that I was kind of confused about, because I thought it was always ESPN, ESPN2, that 8 o'clock slot or whatever it was. But an 11 a.m. ESPN SEC game, you don't see very often. And I can't remember if this has to be part of a new contract deal. So just got to deal with it. It's just a new contract. So that's what it is.
Well, just like the fact that they got to show SEC volleyball on TV on Wednesday or Thursday nights, and they got to show the soccer games and all that stuff now. You know, it's got to be all part of the deal.
Sure thing. So you want to dive into a little A&M action here, Patrick?
Gig 'em.
Let's bring in Wes from goodbowhunting.com. Wes, what's going on, bud?
Whoop. How's it going, guys?
It's wonderful. We are dandy. Yourself?
I'm doing quite well. I'm excited about the game this weekend. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
I am looking forward to it myself. Going to be making a trip, leaving sometime Friday afternoon. Tickets and no tickets, I'm still up there. Still
gonna Very nice.
So, and been to College Station since I was like 11, so.
Oh, y'all have a good time, man. It's a good time out there. The people are pretty friendly. I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
But are you with the same size at 11 as you are now?
Actually, yeah, right, I am. I hit my growth spurt when I was like 10, and I have not grown an inch since.
So were you like a giant kid, or are you a small adult?
In all seriousness, I was 13 years old. I was probably the height I am today, which is like 6 feet tall.
So you're a giant kid.
Yeah, but when I was 11, yeah, I was on my way to that point.
You kicked ass in middle school basketball, didn't you?
Oversized, acne prone, yeah. I had the agility of about Sean Bradley, though.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So,
Did you take the charge, though? Were you able to do that?
Yes, I took the charge. I could set a pick like a son of a bitch, too.
Valuable commodity.
Exactly. You underestimate it, but it comes in handy. So, anyway, Wes, what's going on, man? Tell us a little bit about the A&M, man. Y'all, Johnny Football hyped up there, man. The world is excited about this kid. I mean, this guy, where'd he come from?
His mother, from what I've heard.
Yes.
But there's also rumors that he was spawned out of a football in aisle at like Dick's Sporting Goods a couple years back. No, I think we're all really excited about the team. First of all, I mean, coming in and doing well and seeing that we've got a lot of promise, that's a great thing. I think we're all really excited about Sumlin and Kingsbury. We've all kind of liked what we've seen out of the defense in terms of not losing a bunch. But they're bending a lot. That's kind of frightening. But as a fan base, we're pumped up. We all can't believe how great it's been this first year in the SEC, not just in terms of wins, but, you know, we've been getting a lot more pub than we normally will, and that's a function of winning. It's a function of the transition. We're actually getting to put ourselves forward, and I think that's a real fun thing for all of us to see.
Yeah, man, a fourth quarter collapse against Florida and you're undefeated right now. I mean, that's just
– And Florida's good.
Yeah.
That gives me a little hope against you guys, but the thing that doesn't is y'all's defense. That scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that's going to keep us in games for the rest of the season. That's another thing that's going to play a pivotal role Saturday morning. Definitely, I like watching LSU's defense, especially playing against – up-tempo offenses like this. We've had success against them. Chavis knows. He kind of knows what to do. But you out there, in Kyle Field, it's a little bit of a different animal. I'm just really intrigued by the matchup to see what else she does defensively to try to contain Manziel. Patrick, what do you see real quick before we kind of turn it over to Wes a little bit more as far as how you think LSU schemes against
I don't think you see him scheme too much know, differently than they did against the last quarterback, Connor Shaw. You know, they for the most part, kept Shaw contained. I think, you know, obviously, A&M's quarterback's going to see a new level of speed on the defense. You know, granted, you know, I've watched a little bit of highlights of him. He's got some speed, but he, you know, to outrun the end just, you know, with ease like he's been doing in these previous games, I don't think he's going to find that. I also think he's going to find that our ends play a little smarter whenever they want to contain. They can contain. They get up the field, and then they chase out. So you're not – they're not chasing along the line of scrimmage. They're chasing, you know, 5-6 yards in the backfield, which it makes a huge, huge difference when you're trying to turn it up. Is he going to get a run or two? Yeah, because he's probably going to be running. The key is going to be – you know, obviously our secondary, again, you know, they've held up all year. That, you know, they're holding their own for, I don't call them freshmen anymore, call them semi-sophomores here. If they hold up again, we're going to be just fine. We're not going to change defensive scheme than what we did against South Carolina. I don't see it changing in that regard. I'd see maybe we might throw a couple of wrinkles at him since he's a freshman. You know, try to get a little blitz package to try and goad him into an interception, depending on what kind of, you know, standard patterns that A&M runs in their receiving game. You know, with, I don't know if they run outs. I don't know if they're running, if their standard passing game is a slant or how it's working. But I see us goading him into a couple of things, but maybe a couple of sneaky blitzes like we used to do in the past.
Maybe so. Well, luckily we have an A&M guest that can clarify that for us. Wes, how do you see A&M attacking LSU's defense inside it?
Oh, man, this is another one. I am not your X's and O's commentator, but what I will tell you –
We have no facts to back up what we're talking about at all.
That's fair. But what I will say is that in this offense, Kevin Sumlin and Kingsbury have given little Johnny Football a lot of control. That means that when he's on the field, if he sees something, he's going to change the play. He's going to call some hot routes. These guys don't run just one or two different routes. The air raid is going to run many, many different routes with many different receivers. And the plus side here is we've got a great offensive line and three pretty damn good running backs. If Christian Michael can go off a little bit, I think it's going to be a long day for the LSU defense, because that means that's an added element to that offense. You've got a bruiser back that's actually going off for yardage. But your defensive line is more stout than anything we've seen all year. So I think it's just going to be an interesting case study in, can Johnny Football beat the next video game boss, you know? I view that week to week as it's been getting a little harder. It started off pretty difficult and we lost, reset the game, climb up the ladder a little bit, and this is one he's going to have to figure out. It's not going to be easy. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And a couple LSU players were asked earlier in the week, do they think that, you know, putting a spy, are they like, Patrick, anytime we play a team like this, we always talk about spying the quarterback. Well, this is something Chavis doesn't really like to do. He sticks to his guns. He plays his defense, and he says, okay, let's see if you're good enough to beat what I schemed against you and the defense that I play.
Well, let's think about it. We haven't had to have a spy this year because technically Mentor has been our spy, and it's not a spy. That's just a guy that just goes after you. I mean, any guy that has 20 tackles in a game, or, you know, and it's always around the football, that's basically our spy. And like I said, he's not a spy. He's just all over the place. So wherever the ball is, that's where Mentor, and that's been, you know, to everybody's surprise. We knew he was good, but, man, this guy's come on like a world beater. We're talking moving up from a mid-rounder to, you know, a first or second rounder the way he's playing.
Yeah, he's nasty.
Yeah, he's taking a position on the LSU defense side of the ball. It was a, you know, a liability last year for all intents and purposes, and it turned it into a strength right there. And it's unfortunate that we lose Quan Alexander in that Florida game, but you know, you got to deal with it. We have some other linebackers that can step up. So, but you're right about that, Pat. I mean, he's doing what a middle linebacker, you know, in a John Chavis defense is supposed to do. He's running through the football. He's roaming around. He's making plays here and there, sideline to sideline. He's just a beast. He's just been a beast this year, and it's really been a pleasant surprise, because going into the season, we once again said that we thought that, you know, our secondary was still good. We knew our defensive line was good. We were kind of weary about the linebackers, especially being so young in a secondary this season. So I think it's helped the secondary out a lot with the play of our linebackers to this point.
Yeah, and the secondary seems to be picking up some swagger too. I mean, they, you know, obviously they kind of protected him early in the year, but you know what? They may get beat on a play, they may do whatever, but you know what? They're right back at him. So I don't, you know, they have the right mentality to play secondary. They can play their bump now. They back off when the defensive coordinator tells them to back off. But I like the way they're playing. They don't come out there scared, and they're not afraid to put their helmet in on a run either.
No, you don't hear their names called too often either. That's because they're not getting beat. You know, they're not making interceptions every game, but you know, they're not getting beat either. So that's the best thing you can do. If you're a cover corner and your name's not getting called, and you're not intercepting passes, you're doing a good job. Now where we struggle a little bit is covering, you know, over the top of our safeties here and there. So that's, you know, that's been a kind of a concern, especially with Lawson. Lawson's not really a cover guy. He's more of a, you know, up, you know, style of safety that, you know, run stop type of safety, like a Roman Harper with the Saints. But, you know, and Eric Reed, that was something he was good at last year. He struggled a little bit, but
He's doing what the Saints were doing. He's trying to hit people instead of tackling.
Yeah, well, that's a problem in football altogether. A lack of tackling skills. I mean, we can have a whole show on that. You know,
we do a whole show on that last week Aggie game on that. That's that's something we're going to have to really step up on with you guys' running attack. We're going to have to wrap up. You guys have bruiser backs. They got to put them on the ground. They can't just try and knock them down.
So, yeah, that's something that LSU needs to work on to exploit in A&M's defense. Of course, we're not gonna throw the ball around like La Tech and expose, you know, parts of A&M's defense that way, because we don't throw the football. We run.
But, man, would I take La Tech's offensive coordinator? He has got it rolling over there. I wish we should get rid of ours and get him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, there's a lot of things we can do differently offensively, but hey, we ran for 250 yards against number 3 team in the nation. So who am I to complain?
Hey, we don't have the kind of time to talk about our offensive coordinator.
So, what concerns do you have defensively? I mean, you talked about our bruiser running backs, Wes, but how do you think they're going to just come out and try to stack that line and like everybody else is going to do this season, or you think they're going to play a little bit different?
I don't know. I think last week we showed that we had some problems defensively in the second half. There were running lanes open. People were undercutting our D-backs. They weren't playing as aggressive as they normally do this season. I'd like to see our secondary step up a little bit, since they obviously think that y'all aren't going to throw a lot. Put the pressure down and challenge them. I'd like to see that a lot. I think you're going to expect to see a lot of DeMontre Moore. A lot of Spencer Neely and a lot of Sean Porter. Those guys are going to be key to stopping this run attack and make sure that any passes that you're throwing are going to be pressured.
I've heard those names. Who are those guys? Are those all D linemen, or is that?
No, two of them are D linemen, DeMontre Moore and Neely. Okay. Neely will play over the nose or tackle, and DeMontre is a defensive end. He was at one point leading the country in sacks. But I don't know if that's still true. I can't verify that. But he's good. He's really matured. He's been one of those surprise players. A lot of talent, a lot of potential the last 2 years, never really put it all together. And this year he's putting it all together.
Okay.
Yeah, and Spencer Neely is he's another pleasant surprise. He's getting in there. He's getting penetration. He's wrapping up. He's making tackles. He's pursuing. And Sean Porter's just a beast at linebacker. Just a real solid player. Emulates Von Miller a little bit. He's a lot of fun to watch.
He's a good guy to emulate.
Yeah, no joke.
I've heard of that guy. He was in a Cotton Bowl. He was in a Cotton Bowl game, and he was every bit as advertised in that game. He's a hell of a football player.
Yeah, I wish that game had gone differently.
Yeah, not me. Think about it this way: you were the last team to surrender a good game to Jordan Jefferson. How does that make you feel?
Oh man, boy! You have to kick a man when he's down.
I came out here for a freaking nut kicking. That's awesome.
Jordan Jefferson exposed your defense. Come on now.
What I'll tell you is that that's behind us. That's behind us. I can't change the past, brother. But we've opened some new doors. We've got a new culture. I think we're ready to. I think we're ready to change things.
It's never a dull moment. You know, any way we can to bring up a George Jefferson or Jared Lee reference on the show, keep the burning candle alive with those two,
right,
as much as we can.
So. I have a question I wanted to kind of ask our A&M friend. Your experience as coming into the SEC now as opposed to the Big 12, obviously, you know, the first game in Missouri learned their lesson. Don't talk smack right away until you get indoctrinated into the SEC. And obviously, y'all, the big thing came out with y'all originally with the billboard in Florida and all this other stuff. After that game, you know, like Carrie and I said on a show, you know, don't talk smack till you play an SEC game. Once you play an SEC game, you're an SEC team. We back you against anybody else but us.
Well, so, we still haven't proven that billboard was done by Aggies, first of all. I don't know one Aggie that would Aggie that billboard up that much. I'm talking about the whoop at the end, the clean conference stuff. That sounded sarcastic to me.
No, that sounded like a Muschamp thing. I mean, it did sound like a Florida, you know, ploy for billboard material in some kind of way.
That sounded like a Texas fan to me. that's just me. I'm not on CSI. I can't break the case down. But that was the first place my head went, which was what freaking idiot did? Oh, that's what happened. That was my thought process when I saw the billboard. But no, the experience coming in has been awesome. I think that, I've been out in the South this summer a little bit, and I'd wear Aggie stuff, and I have people walk up to me in public and be like, hey, man, welcome to the SEC. I'm like, all right, cool. I like that. That's really, really cool to be in a conference that's, like, excited to have us there. It's a big power conference. It's like being in the NFL of college football. It's semi-national. Everybody's in a different state. You got new rivalries to look forward to. I'm stoked.
Yeah.
I think the team is, too.
I can't speak for every like other teams in the conference, but from like my perspective as an LSU fan, this is a move that I wanted to see happen like 10 years ago.
Instead of Arkansas.
This seemed like such a natural fit, and kind of view A&M as like, you know, a very heated rivalry back then, and you know, as I'm sure y'all have, we've poked fun at the Aggies over the years, and you know,
oh yeah.
And the Giggum cheers and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure y'all jokingly yelled tiger bait at somebody, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. I still can't stand when we yell tiger bait at somebody. But it's almost kind of like, you know, it's almost kind of like a lost son that you find. It's, you know, it's let's bring y'all away from that joke of a conference over there that wants to be us, but not really us.
Yeah, it's funny that like the last 16 years, you never heard a Big 12 team refer to the SEC. And now Texas is an SEC team. I didn't know that. Did you guys know that? That was the press I was reading from Mac Brown's like, yeah, we're going to be an SEC team. How are you going to do that? You're in the Big 12. Secondly, the Dallas Morning News wrote an article today that said A&M beating LSU would be a victory for the Big 12. Because it proves that our offense would work there and we would beat the big SEC teams. Sorry, Baylor Tech, you're not going to. Like, watch us the rest of the year. It's just not going to happen for you. Sorry. Sucks.
Yeah. It's a win, man.
It's definitely our natural rivalry.
And it better replace Arkansas at the end of the year. I hope y'all do away with Texas. I don't know what the plans are for that going forward. But
oh, no, I want that game back.
Yeah. You want the Texas game back?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm sure you do. Yeah,
I want to play you guys every year, and I want to play them every year. It'd be great to have both, but if we're gonna sub one out, I'll take LSU in a heartbeat. That'd be awesome. I mean, it's gonna be so fun.
Well, you got us every year, regardless. You kind of stuck with us. We were in the same division, so
us Alabama, you got it all. Have fun with that.
So yeah, Missouri definitely got the sweeter part of the pie. They going to the little crappy East, you know.
I'd rather play you guys. I think that's the Aggies mentality. It's like, well, if we're going to do this, let's do it.
Right.
Let's get, play the big guys. Let's play.
My wife has a cousin, and she's married to a guy who's an A&M grad, and she might be too. I really have no idea. And he and I were talking a couple of years ago. Actually, it's the only time I've ever met him. And we were talking about it a couple of years ago, how cool it would be for A&M to be in the SEC. And back then he was like, that's a move I want to happen. I've wanted to see it happen for a few years now. And I'm like, me too. I mean, that's just makes sense. I mean, it'll help both schools in recruiting. Definitely. LSU already taps Texas as far as recruiting resources. A&M already taps out of Louisiana. And then having both teams play each other every year on national TV is going to be, you know.
It's going to become something great. I like that rivalry. I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with it.
As long as we don't play that game in early September every year, because I can remember those games we played in early September. Man, it's either 97 and 100% humidity in Tiger Stadium, or it's,
or 197
burning your burning your face off. And
I've heard the rumor that we're going to play each other the last week of November, like the Thanksgiving area in a couple
of
years.
That's where it should be.
That's where it should be. We'll get Arkansas. Let Arkansas play somebody stupid like Missouri, and we'll go do that.
I mean, I want that. That's what I want for Thanksgiving. I mean, I fry turkey anyway. It's beautiful. It makes a lot of sense.
Poor Mizzou. Everybody's just kind of welcoming A&M with open arms, and everybody. Mizzou's just got to be sitting there pissed off. Like, you know, guys, really, Mizzou, you don't belong. We just kind of took you because we had to.
They're good. They're good people, though. We've been in a conference with them for a while. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Missouri's cool.
They'll help our basketball. It's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, they definitely will.
Yeah, well, to me, Arkansas is a team that honestly needs to go away.
Oh, really? You think that they're just done?
They need to go back to the Big 12.
Man, I think that they could pull this out if they get the right coach.
Nah.
You don't think Arkansas's got people to pull it out?
Let's keep Arkansas. We gotta have somebody to make fun of.
I guess. So. You're right.
Go ahead.
I said you can only make fun of Ole Miss for so many years. You need some new material. You gotta keep it fresh. So, anyway, we digress here a tad. Before we get into the picks real quick, and we'll pick our game last. We'll actually pick the game, you know, later. But just real quick, Wes, keys to the game Saturday. Final thoughts.
On the offense, you got to get Johnny going. You got to protect. You got to open the lanes up, and that offense has got to be aware when that guy starts to improvise, hold their blocks downfield. I think Mike Evans is going to be a big key to the game. Freshman wide receiver, 6'8". He's an animal. He attacks the ball. He's huge. He throws off defensive backs. If he can get going, he's had 4 100-yard games this year as a freshman. If he can get going, it's going to be a thing of beauty. I want Ryan Swope to play, but if he's not ready to play, you can't mess with a concussion. But I hope he's okay, because having a senior receiver like that on the field would be a huge key. And stopping the run. There you go.
Okay. Patrick?
Well, I would say who's A&M's backup quarterback if he's going to run all the time like that? And then I would say obviously, you know, the key, our defense, Chavis is a defensive genius. He's going to have a game plan ready. If he doesn't, he will adjust. He's our one coach that will adjust during the game. Offensively, we have, you know, obviously we want to establish a running game. You know, obviously we're looking for that stability there. But I don't think we can change what we did against South Carolina. We had the perfect mix of run and pass against South Carolina for LSU's, you know, liking. We threw the ball enough to keep them off balance. We took, you know, our 5-yard shots. We took a little bit longer passes every now and then. I thought the mix was perfect. If they can get that mindset that no matter what, we have to mix it up, then I think the offense is going to be just fine. I mean, I really see us, you know, it's going to be not more of a scoring game than it is going to be a defensive game this time for sure.
Yeah, it's the pedigree is simple when you play on the SEC in the road. Limit your turnovers, take advantage of your red zone opportunities, and hold them to field goals, not touchdowns.
I mean, get a special teams play. We will get a special teams play since they played so bad the past few games. I think we'll get a special teams play.
You're going to get one of those right sooner or later, Patrick. I have faith in you. You call that every week.
You said it. Well, we got one last game. We got craziness trying to catch the ball with one hand halfway out of bounds.
Hey, man. Don't doubt craziness. He always, you know, I'm hoping he shows up in a big way. He needs to. It's LSU's pedigree. We know what we're going to do offensively. We're not changing anything. We're not going to mix it up. We're not going to throw any kind of stupid, retarded plays out there. We're going to run a toss lead. We're going to run it about 20 times. We're going to throw some other runs in there. We're going to mix up our running backs. I don't care.
Well,
this is
the biggest thing, though, is get a running back in rhythm like we did last game. We got them more than 5 carries. They found the rhythm.
Yeah, I mean you're gonna see it, but you're gonna see everybody. You're gonna see Hill. You're gonna see Hillier. You're gonna see Ford. You're gonna see Ware. We're gonna run basically the same formation the whole game. And we're going to say, okay, A&M, stop it. And if they do, they win the ball game because we don't adjust. So,
No, we won't. That's one thing you can count on. Your coaches will not have to work much at halftime.
I mean,
because they'll know exactly what we're going to do.
If we fall behind early and we're not moving the ball with the offense we're running, guess what? We're not going to move the ball the rest of the game. Nothing's going to change. You know, we might hit a big play. We'll stay. I mean, regardless of how it goes, defenses can keep us in a game, whether we're down a score, whether we're up a score. It's going to be within that range somewhere, I think, most of the game. I don't know, because it's just kind of really anxious to see us, you know, come out in this game and see how we come out after the big victory Saturday night. I hope there's not too much of a layover. I hope they keep things in perspective and realize that this team is still, you know, right where it needs to be as far as competing for an SEC title and a national title, and just can't get complacent. Like I said, you got to limit your turnovers on the road, and when we get the ball in the red zone, we can't have field goals this time.
Well, you know what, though? I think they found a new sense of excitement now. I mean, I can, you know, as a fan, I feel it, and people I talk to, you know, you got that sense like, oh, man, you know, even we're playing Towson, and I was like, God, what is this team doing? We're not doing anything. It just kind of lulling you, and all of a sudden, boom, the excitement's right back in it. Oh, man, we came out. We showed what we can do. Let's pick it up. Now we're ready to go to the rest of the season. Look, here's another. This is what we live for. This is LSU. Here's another, like last season, every game was a big game. Here's another big game. This is our first chance back in Kyle Field. This is our first SEC, you know, road test to prove that we weren't the same team that played against Florida. So I think you have a renewed sense of enthusiasm here, to be honest with you.
Yeah, one of the loudest home games there's been in a few years. So,
well, you've got a renewed sense of enthusiasm in A&M, if you want to talk about that. I mean, you're talking about everything's bright, new, shiny, and we've got a nice record, and we've got an opportunity. And you guys, I don't know. I think you might be surprised on Saturday. I'm not gonna call it, but I think it's going to be a better game than some are thinking.
Oh, you're going to be forced to call it in about 3 minutes.
I know. That's why I was saving it.
All right, let's roll on to these picks. As we got everybody's synopsis, we're rolling right along right here. All right, Wes, this is what we're going to do. I don't know if you got that stuff picked up, pulled up, but we're not picking every game. There's like 13 games on here. But,
thank God.
Yeah, we'd be here till 9:30. And I have no time. I'm gonna sift through
it.
I'm gonna go through like four or five games, and of course we're gonna save LSU and A&M for last. So as we go, as I'm looking for a game to pick, let's go to the Big Ten and give the Big Ten some love. Why, I don't know. Michigan State going to Michigan, getting 10.5, the Sparty is. What do you think, Wes?
I'm picking State.
All right.
I'm going to go with State, Spartans. It's going to happen.
Cool enough. Good reason.
Yeah, what the hell.
I know dick about those teams. So, State.
Yeah. That half a point's a killer. And I know crap about picking games this year. For last year leading the pack, now I'm sucking it this year. Whatever. Podcast cheating
first.
In first place.
Podcast first. Me and him pick the games every week. We have an agenda.
He's cheating. All right. Anyway, I'll take Michigan in this one to cover at home.
I have no freaking clue. Like I said, I pretty much lost all interest in Michigan after they got drilled by Alabama. So not that I really had much interest in them before. These are two teams that were supposed to be very good and be in the top 10 all year. Guess what? Neither one of them are.
Don't care.
Michigan's ranked 23rd on the verge of being ousted by that. But I like Michigan State to keep it close. I don't know if they win, but I'll take Michigan State to pick up. On to the SEC we shall go. The marquee SEC matchup of the day, South Carolina traveling to Gainesville, getting 3.5 in Florida. Wes, how do you see this one playing out?
I'm going to go ahead and pick Florida for strength of schedule purposes.
Mm-hmm. Completely with heart. I like it.
Yes, absolutely. I bet not with my head.
Patrick?
I'm going to take South Carolina. I thought playing, even though we lost to Florida, playing those two teams, I thought South Carolina was a better team. So even though they're playing at Florida, South Carolina's a bounce-back game here. They need it. So I'll go with that, with South Carolina, the ball coach.
This one, picking South Carolina just because the law of averages plays out. I don't think Florida's as good as hardly, you know, sad to say to Wes over there, but
No, it's okay.
They're not quite as good as number two in the BCS in the country. I think South Carolina exposes some things, and I think they come out and they win this game.
Plus, it helps us move up into polls.
Yes, it does. So.
Is this Chiznicek's swan song game?
Probably so.
Good.
They're playing Vandy.
I didn't want to pick it. I just saw the game on the slate. Yeah.
I picked Auburn.
They're one in five, and they almost beat us. I really don't want to talk about Auburn right about now.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to the Big 12. Kansas State, West Virginia. Marquee matchup there in that conference.
Intriguing.
K-State getting 3.5. West Virginia's a sucker bet. They want you to take K-State. So that's why I'm thinking West Virginia's going to melee and knock K-State off the undefeated ranks here at home. So a little bit of redemption mentality for West Virginia. I like West Virginia to cover. I think I stepped on somebody's toes there when I started just talking about the game. But
no, you're good.
Wes, you said you're taking K-State?
I'm taking K-State. Okay. I think West Virginia's defense is terrible. It's just terrible.
Terrible.
It's terrible.
Terrible. Patrick.
Well, I'm going to take West Virginia. They're playing at home. Yeah, that's a freaky country. That's podcast kinfolk. I mean, it's – and I say they got to come back. They got to score at least 40 points in this game against K-State. And plus, we'll move up again in the polls if K-State loses. That's two spots. Let's go. Keep going.
That's right. Moving right along into that bye week before we play Alabama. We got to take care of business. So let's stay in the Big 12. Let's go to Texas Tech at TCU. 2.5 points. Let's see. Which way is this going? TCU's getting 2.5 at home against the fighting Tuberville's.
That's an SEC defense, by the way.
That is.
Sure.
Patrick, I'll start with you on this one.
Oh, dandy. I'm going to take the just because I know somebody that's a big Horned Frogs fan. That's why I'm taking the Horny Frogs.
Okay, well, I worked in Fort Worth, and I'll go ahead and take the Raiders. I would just like to see Purple Baylor get a little bit kicked out of him. That'd be great.
Purple Baylor.
I like that analogy. It's funny.
It's a Prince song.
See, and that's where the benefit of being in the Big 12 for so long comes in. You hear these inside things. Purple Baylor, things like that.
This,
living in Texas.
This has all the makings. Texas Tech coming up that shellacking of West Virginia. That whole, you know, emotional letdown, things happening. They're going to TCU. I like TCU.
TCU has no fans.
Yeah,
that stadium will be empty.
Neither does Texas Tech. So
that's because nobody wants to live in Lubbock.
I've been to Lubbock for a game, and they have fans. Trust me.
More than TCU. I'm going with TCU just because my brother has a friend who's actually, I think he's the head equipment manager over there. So.
Well, there you go. That's a good reasoning. Good job.
So, I like that. Scientific.
I'm going with him. So, Mike Singfield, that's for you, buddy. Not that he listens to the show.
He should like
it. You never know. He might. So, I think that leaves us with the LSU A&M game because there's nothing else on this board that I really want to disparage our Go Show listeners with. For the rest of the show, let's knock this out. Let's call it a night. LSU traveled to College Station, Texas, laying 3.5, or A&M getting 3.5. I don't even want to say it. We will lead off with our guest. He will have the honors. He can take it away, and you can speak as long as you want about this.
I'm gonna pick the Aggies, which goes against every fiber of rule that I've ever followed in betting in my life. The rule has always been don't bet on the Aggs. Well, I'm kicking my battered Aggie syndrome to the curb. And I think that the Aggies come out and play a good game. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be whoever has the ball last. I think that's A&M, and I think we take it by 4. And so that would mean I'm going 21-17 A&M.
See, in a perfect world, when we dub this show and we actually release it, as you start to talk about that, I want Journeys Don't Stop Believing playing.
You should.
Come in.
Just have that going in your mind. If you've listened to this at home, rewind it and then go back and just a small town. Just get that going. That'll be better.
Just cue it up.
Light a couple candles.
Yeah, maybe some explosions in the sky like Friday Night Lights, like just that nice jangly guitar. the belief. That's good.
That's right. Yeah, their concert in Lafayette got canceled, by the way, tonight. Patrick, I know you're heartbroken about that.
Explosions in the Sky or Journey?
No, Journey's concert.
Oh, okay.
Journey's concert got canceled. Just, you know, I don't know why I'm bringing it up. But
I was like, shit, you're a fan.
Something I heard on the radio. I love Explosions in the Sky. We probably.
Good stuff.
Patrick.
Well, now that I'm tearing up because the concert got canceled.
With that Lover Boy and Night Ranger.
Night
Ranger?
It was Lover Boy. It was Lover Boy and somebody else. I cannot remember
who. Foreigner.
Oh, my God. There's going to be a lot of Cialis being snorted in that bathroom.
On this game, I'm going to say what I did earlier and say that I think it's going to be higher scoring than people think this time. Obviously, I think LSU has the more talented team. Do we mix it up like we did last game? I'm going to pray that we do, so I'm going to say a prayer after this because I'm a good church-loving person. And I will say LSU 31, A&M 21.
Okay.
All right. It worked for me last week. I'm going to do it again this week, Patrick, so don't be mad at me. Just think about, you know.
I don't care. You're a freaking
pansy. Pansy? Hey, reverse psychology is what I'm going with. It's worked for one game. I'm doing it again. Although I do think, I think LSU can expose A&M defense a little bit rushing the football, but I worry about that quarterback making a few plays and LSU making a bad play here and there and giving A&M a short field somewhere. So reverse psychology working its evolution, you know, working itself out here. I'm going to pick A&M. I'm doing it just for reverse psychology purposes, people.
Whatever.
If you say it's reverse psychology, isn't it not reverse psychology?
No, but it's guilting yourself into thinking it's reverse psychology when it's not, but it really is.
So I'm going reverse psychology, and I'm picking LSU 24, A&M 14. Ha! Big job.
Hey,
oh, head fake.
I went with the
I forgot to. We forgot one factor, and I cannot remember because I don't know. A&M's field, is it turf or is it grass?
It's grass.
Hell, I'm not changing my pick.
That's right.
It is grass at Kyle Field.
That was going to make all the difference in the world to me.
Good deal. Wes, will you be out there Saturday?
I will not. I am I'm going to be here in Dallas.
Okay.
That Saturday, but I will be watching. And sure. I will be loud.
I'm still figuring out where I'm watching the game. I just know I'm going there. So, well, you got any good places I can go? Where can I go?
Down at College Station?
The game.
First thing to tell you to do would be to go find a good tailgate, make friends, bring beer, and watch the game there.
That's what I'm kind of thinking about. That's what I wasn't sure about. Do their fans that not go to the game kind of like LSU does, and they just kind of camp out the whole day?
There'll be some people out there. Yeah, you'll find a group. There'll be some stragglers. There's not a lot of students that do that.
Yeah,
but there may be some people that just went down and don't go to the game. If not, just go to Northgate and pick whatever bar suits you. The corner bar, I think, is a pretty good place to catch a game. They've got a lot of TVs and three stories of stuff. So,
yeah. You know, my original plan was, to use my charm and my Southern Hospitality charm and kind of just cozy on up to our tailgate, say, hey, y'all come down here next year, get the same kind of hospitality from us. I'm sitting here watching a game, and don't beat me up too bad because I get kind of emotional.
Just bring beer, man. You'll have friends.
I'll do that. So, all right, looking forward to this. Wow, are we getting renewed this Saturday? I'm excited. I can't wait. One thing that sucks about this is 11 o'clock in the morning. This game needs to be prime time Saturday night every year.
It will be. Let's take this early one and look forward to the future.
So, you know, that will be how long a drive is that to College Station for you boys?
Six for us? For him?
Well, just for you.
6.5 hours.
Where are you coming from?
Mandeville, Louisiana.
Yeah. I'd be about six.
Or Hammond. I'm meeting friends in Hammond, which is only 25 minutes from here. So,
yeah, well,
that's where we're coming from. That being said, this will wrap it up for tonight. Thank you, Wes, for
joining us. Thank y'all.
Appreciate it. Podcast, you were behind the scenes doing the ever so.
I don't even want to know what you were doing behind the scenes.
I don't need it. Just keep it to yourself. But being the outstanding managing editor and producer of the show as you are, keep it real, Patrick Morris. Talk to you later since you're not coming with us this weekend. And for everybody else, I'm Kerry Muntz. Thank you for listening. Go Tigers. We're done.